Our scripture reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to the disciples. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again. As Lyra said at the beginning of the service, I have a really fun job. Is this working okay? Got it. I have a really fun job where basically a whole campus is my parish, my church. And I'm kind of sent out by the Christian Reformed Church into this ministry called Ottawa Campus Chaplaincy to minister to students on campus and to create Christian community there, as well as to reach out and be a presence on campus. You might not know this, but the Presbytery of Ottawa also supports Ottawa Campus Chaplaincy. It's one of their ministries that they give to, pray for, support. So thank you for being a part of our supporting family and for helping us to do this work on campus. One of the biggest things that we do on campus is something called Feast in Faith. So every Tuesday during the academic year, we cram about 30, 35 students into a small living room, basically, and we eat home-cooked lasagna or casseroles or chilies or soups that people have cooked and brought to campus that we feed to the students. And the idea is to practice hospitality around the dinner table, or in some cases, people sitting on the floor because we only have so many tables, but to practice hospitality, to come and eat together, to share together, and to also practice hospitality of presence. So to be there for the students, to listen carefully to them. And then afterwards, we have some sort of prayer time or a speaker or a study, discussion, something that gets them thinking about faith, about Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus, and then they go back out into their busy weeks. But I also have the joy of, in the day-to-day of campus life, sitting down with students one-on-one, having coffee, having them come to the chaplaincy office to just chat about different things that are going on in their life, doubts and questions. So this gospel story that we're going to look at this morning is actually dear to my heart because we have a doubting Thomas, right? And there's a lot of students that are struggling with doubts and questions, so I get to be with them in that journey. So that's just a little bit more context for who I am, what I'm doing, but let's jump into our text this morning. Now, if you go to a Jays, Sens, Raptors game, you're primarily there to cheer your team on to victory. But anyone that loves the limelight might have an ulterior motive at the game. To get on the Jumbotron. You know, that big screen that's often on the roof or at the top of the stadium. You know, you're just sitting there watching the game, enjoying your night out, and next thing you know, you look up, and there you are on this screen. You go from being just one in hundreds or thousands in the crowd to all eyes on you on this big screen. Some people love it. They get on there and they dance, they kiss, they lip sync, whatever. Other people, that's their worst nightmare, right? But you go from being just this passive kind of viewer of the game to almost being a participant in the event. And I don't know if you caught it, but John does something at the end of the passage this morning that we might call a biblical Jumbotron. But that's at the end of the passage. So let's jump back to how it begins. It begins with exciting drama. Mary Magdalene has just seen the resurrected Jesus. Now, in our familiarity with the story, we can forget how high stakes this is. I mean, a dead man was living. And so she runs off with enthusiasm to go tell the disciples, the friends of Christ. But the reaction is mixed at best. You see, these friends of Jesus, they have locked the door. They have put the chain on. They're hiding from the powers that be, the same powers that came for Christ. So they're really not sure what to make of this news about Jesus being alive. But then Jesus does what God often does best in the scriptures. Jesus shows up. The God of the Bible is the God that shows up. From the Garden of Eden to the burning bush to the tabernacle to God coming incarnate, God is the God that shows up. And so we don't know if Jesus walked through the walls of the locked room or kicked down that barricaded door like an FBI agent, but somehow Jesus shows up in this room full of fear. He walks through walls, metaphorically, the walls of their fear and their isolation. And the most wonderful part of this whole story is what Jesus says when he shows up, and also what he doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, "Why did you betray me at the cross?" Jesus doesn't say, "How didn't you not pick up the hints about, you know, me resurrecting from the dead? I dropped a lot of hints along the way." And he doesn't point fingers. He doesn't point out the irony that the disciples are hiding from the same world that Jesus just rescued. What Jesus says when he shows up is peace. Peace. The most common Jewish greeting, oozing with fresh meaning from the lips of the resurrected God. Peace between God and people, between people and others, between people and the world. Total and complete peace is what God's been working to restore all the times God shows up in the Bible. But with Jesus, this peace has a finalness it didn't have before. Peace. Friends, don't worry. I've restored the breach. Sin is like the crevice of a fracture, and I'm resetting all things right. And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he breathes on them. In other words, disciples, unbolt that door. Get some fresh air. Get back out into your lives, your towns, your jobs, into the public. Because this same peace that I'm speaking to you, you are called to go and speak into the world. Whenever disciples lock the doors, the air gets stale. And Jesus sends them back into mission. But as we've already talked about with the kids' story, there are more walls that Jesus has to walk through other than fear and isolation. He also needs to show up in the heart of a doubter. Poor Thomas, he's not there. You might have heard of the fear of missing out. Well, Thomas definitely misses out on all this excitement, on this confirmation that Christ has resurrected. And so when his friends run off to share with him that Jesus is alive, Thomas says, "I can't believe it. I won't believe it. Not unless I touch the nail wounds myself and the wound in his side. I don't just need to see, I need to touch in order to believe." Now, when Thomas does experience Christ, he goes from doubting Thomas to making one of the most explicit statements of faith in all of the Bible. Jesus shows up for Thomas, and he says, "Here you go, Thomas. Hold my pierced hands. See for yourself." And simultaneously, Thomas encounters the crucified and the risen Jesus. And all he can do is say, "My Lord and my God." Jesus shows up for the doubter. And so as we read this gospel story, the great theater of salvation is being performed before us. It's exciting stuff. All of John up until this point, because we're almost at the end of the gospel, has been this wonderful, amazing drama of all that Jesus has done. And it's like we're spectators leaning into the overtime, caught up in the suspense of the story. But then something incredible happens at the very end of this passage. The author, John, gospel jumbotrons us. Verses 30 to 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah and might have life in his name. You. One commentator points out that this is John breaking the fourth wall, kind of like when a movie character talks or looks at the camera. This winter semester, I journeyed with two groups of students through the whole narrative story of Scripture. Now, we didn't read the whole Bible, but we got this bird's eye view of the big story of the Bible over 6 weeks in these small groups that we ran. And at the end of this process, one of the theater students remarked to me that Scripture is kind of like unexpected immersive theater. That you're there watching this drama of what God is doing in the world, and then you're invited on stage and you're given lines to join in the story of God's salvation. And that is what is happening in the gospel passage from John. John aims the camera at us, you. And suddenly, we're on the jumbotron. John says, this gospel that you hold in your hand and read in a book or on your phone, this gospel is written that you, not the person behind you or beside you or who lives next door to you, but you in 2023, this is written that you might believe and have full life in Jesus' name. In other words, we're not just a watcher of the game. We're on the big screen. And this reality hits home even more when we think about the role that Thomas plays in the story. Now, Thomas was not originally there to see the resurrected Lord. He was called to believe without seeing and even without touching. He was meant to say, "My Lord and my God," on the basis of what the disciples said. Because the disciples were doing what Jesus sent them to do. Go out and preach my peace. And so they went to Thomas and they said, "Thomas, Jesus is alive." And the fact that Thomas had to wait a whole week until he saw Jesus is indicative. A week represents a whole cycle of creation. And so Thomas is you. Thomas is myself. People called to believe without seeing. And John's gospel is kind of like the disciples going out to tell Thomas. We're called to believe that we might believe based on this beautiful gospel story. And then, at the end of time, we get to see with our eyes, and who knows, maybe even touch Jesus' wounds. And so the fourth wall's been broken, which means that we're in the story too. It means that the same risen Lord that relentlessly shows up, regardless of dread, of doubt, of fear, is showing up in your fear, is showing up in your doubt. And that Jesus has turned from the disciples in the story to you and is speaking peace to you. You're a part of the story. It means that the wounded Christ is still stitching up the broken parts of us. It means that Christ is still speaking peace and mission upon us, even when it seems like the air has gone stale. He's locking eyes with us and gently reminding us, the Father is sending you too. You're on the Jumbotron. Best of all, Jesus is still showing up in places of doubt. Even doubters like Thomas get gospel Jumbotroned. And while we can't put our hands into the holes of the wounded Christ, John and the gospel writers help us handle Christ just the same. It's so hard for us nowadays, but sometimes the truest things are not what we see with our eyes or handle with our hands, but the truth that shows up in our hearts. And so, friends, we are not just observers of the gospel. We are invited on stage to pick up our lines, because on and on the gospel story goes. And so this morning, to you, Jesus speaks peace. To you, Jesus is showing up in your life. In the fear. And to you and you, to all of you, Jesus says, the Father is sending you as I have been sent. You're on the Jumbotron. What will you do next? Let's pray. Jesus, we pray that you would show up in our fears. Jesus, we pray that you would walk through our doubts. Jesus, we pray that you would give us a sense of fresh mission to speak your peace into the world. Jesus, we pray that in our 9-to-5 lives, in our day-to-day lives, we would see the part that we play in the beautiful gospel story and the redemption drama. Help us to be a part of the story, to see our role in it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.